out.
Yeah, right. That's hard. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're moving through this chapter rather slowly, and I'd say for very good reason. When you stop and think about the importance of the church, I have to confess that I think early on in my years, I didn't have that much focus as far as the church was concerned. For me, like I shared with you before, my testimony was I was very much influenced by a group called Navigators. Navigators is just a great parachurch group, and scripture memory, Bible study, evangelism, just loved it. You know, it's just really great. But somehow I looked at the church, and there was this monstrosity of buildings and people, and they were not on fire for the Lord the way we were with NAVs. And I began to look at all this, and I'm thinking, oh man, you know, do I really want to get, you know, sucked into, you know, this organization? And then in my last year in seminary, I had a professor come. It was from Germany, but he led us to the whole study of Ephesians. What is the church? And man, church is God's idea. You know, the church was God's plan. And he keeps working that plan. And I mean, it was just a total revelation for me. And then that's how I hooked up, you know, being pastor of the church, which I look at today and I say, praise God, I really appreciate it. However, what I've learned over these years, and that is that as we're going to grow in the body of Christ, then we have to begin with a solid understanding of who we are in Christ. Who are we in Christ? You've got to know who you are. What has Christ done for you? Who he's called you to be, to become? And one of the key passages that has really impacted my life, and that is Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, it's Christ lives in me. And the life I live in that flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I began to realize more and more that, you know, I've got to know who I am. I am no longer Steve Strickman. I'm Steve Strickman Christian. He is my identity. That's who I am. And it's not my life anymore. I didn't become a Christian so that Jesus can kind of tag along with me and clean up my messes. I realized that it's not my life anymore. It's his life and his desire to live his life through me. And that means I've got to get out of the way. I've got to learn what it is to be crucified with Christ. But knowing who you are is the beginning point. Then it's a matter of saying, okay, why has he called us? What are we a part of? We're part of a body. It's not an organization, it's an organism. It is the body of Christ. And that body, of course, has to be organized. That's not a problem. Has to be organized. But that body then has a purpose. It has a responsibility. We're here for a reason. And again, we don't become Christians so that God can come trucking along after us and clean up our messes. He says, now you're part of my team. Don't ever forget, I'm the head, you're the body. And that's what I love about this Corinthians 12 passage. It describes to you, okay, you are the body of Christ. We have a function. How do we work together? So in this chapter, he starts off like we did several weeks ago, but you know, chapter 1, he says, about spiritual gifts. The way it really ought to be read, he says, I want you to know about spirituality. The gifts part really doesn't come in until verse 4, but I want you to understand something about spirituality. And he says, you know, the whole focus is that, you know, is about Christ. It's Christ. He's the focus of your spirituality. It's his life now that's going to dwell in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now comes the aspect of gifts. And the important thing is we've got to understand how we work together as the body of Christ. And again, the learning that I've had to go through, you know, for many years, I sort of got the whole idea that, well, if it is to be, it's up to me. You know, I'm the hired gun. You know, churches hire pastors. Why they hire pastors? Well, you're trained to do the work of ministry, pastor. That's why we hired you. You better do a good job or we're going to fire you too. You know? And this is kind of how you kind of live to begin with. But boy, the more you deal with Scripture, and again, Ephesians is a great book for that, you realize God gives gifts to the church. It's chapter 4 of Ephesians. God gives gifts to the church. Well, what are these gifts? What are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? What's their job? To do the ministry? No. They're to equip the saints.
Works of service.
Okay. And what is our job? We, together, are to do the work of ministry. Now, the challenge is, if we're going to do the work of ministry together, how does it work? Where do I fit? And if a lot of you guys play football or basketball or team sport of some sort, you realize, over a period of time, you will find your area where you fit. For me, football, you know, I played high school, college, the whole thing. So I realized, once I found my slot, listen, that's my area. And you realize you work together, see? I played tackle, and I look at today at tackle, they survive as a tackle. I mean, these guys are monsters out there. Anyway, I survived. But regardless, you find your position, you learn to work with the guard, you know, with the end, and you know what you need to be doing together. Same thing here. The whole idea that Paul is concerned about here, he's saying, look, let's talk about spirituality. We're going to talk about, you know, Jesus. You don't say Jesus cursed, you say Jesus is Lord. Well, if he's Lord, he's the boss. So now, let's just get this whole thing out. Well, you know, and the problem is, see, even with team sports, who's the most important guy around here, you know? Of course, always the quarterback. I know the guy always gets all the glory. You know, us grunts on the line over there. We never got any glory. Anyway, we won't go there, okay? But you guys know what I'm talking about, you know. But anyway, so here you are, and you realize that a lot of times there is this competition going on within. And that's what Paul's concerned about here. He's saying something's wrong in this Corinthian church. You guys are saying, you know, one's more important than the other. And after all, I've got this certain gift. In this case, it was a gift of tongues. We'll keep moving into that into chapter 14. But the gift of tongues, and somehow they were the spiritual people. They could speak with the tongues of angels. I mean, Greek, how more spiritual can you get? And Paul is saying, wait a minute. First of all, understand spirituality. Now let's take a good, hard look at what gifts really are. And then we're going to see how it all works together. So what? That's the journey. That's where we're at. And we're going to conclude this study here. We're in section number 3, and last little part here. And notice how Paul describes these gifts. I'll look at verse 7. I'll read 7-11. Now to each one, he says, each one. In other words, every one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the Holy Spirit has been given, and he gives gifts to every single person in the body of Christ. He hasn't, you know, overlooked any one of us, okay? We all have a gift. Now to one, it was given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers of the prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, different kinds of tongues, and still to another, interpretation of tongues. Now, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Now, this is, I think, so important. He gives them to each one, just as what? As he determines. Okay, that is a bottom line issue that you've got to really hammer home. No one comes around and says, well, you know, I'm more spiritual than you are because look at my gift. Excuse me, who passed out the gifts in the first place? I mean, that's his decision, you know? All I have to learn is what gifts has God given me, and how do I fit in the body, and how do we work together? How do we work together? Now, just kind of look at some of these gifts. We dealt with the gift of wisdom, and just kind of probably hit a few of these things here. But, you know, you think about this, the gift of knowledge. What are some definitions you guys came up with there? The gift of knowledge.
Knowing what is right and doing it.
Okay, knowing what is right and doing it. Okay, now we all should have a certain amount of knowledge. But now, there's a gift of knowledge. Dick?
Well, I put down knowing God's truth and as well as man's folly.
Okay, that's knowledge. Now I'm going to keep hammering. What is then the gift, Joel?
I think what he's referring to here in terms of a spiritual gift of knowledge is that they just know something that's useful for the given ministry situation that God revealed to you for that situation that you wouldn't otherwise have known by human means. And to make it a little more concrete, let's say, for example, you're sharing the gospel with somebody, and your mind is just invaded by this picture of a child maybe getting run over. I'm just completely making this up. Maybe of a child getting run over by a bus, and that's just so weird, so strange. It could completely be your own imagination. But you know, sometimes when you're sharing the gospel with somebody and you just start talking and sharing, and it's like, wow, I know that God was speaking through me because I couldn't have thought of that. And so have you had any tragedies in your life with regard to children, and tears start streaming down their face? Well, about 5 years ago, my child was run over by a bus. Okay, now, Grant, I'm just totally making up that example. Hopefully that's not happened to any of us, but that could be an example of a gift of knowledge that God gave to that Christian for the sake of advancing the gospel. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the whole explanation to that gift,
sure.
But that maybe could be one
illustration of it. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I'm reading here, and it sounds to me like we have, you know, the whole agape love, the grace. Some people have the ability to feel grace a lot better than others. And I'm reading here in Luke, Jesus talking, he says, woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key of knowledge. He says, you yourselves cannot enter, and you hinder those who would like to enter. So, to me, grace is the opposite of law, so maybe someone that can dole in grace.
Okay,
good.
Turn.
Gift of knowledge for me is there's some people that just know the truth. When they speak the truth. And what I mean by the truth, you know, when we're talking about like who Christ is, who the Spirit is, Michael Blue for me has obviously been given the gift of evangelism, along with Brent. But he also, for me, really has a gift of knowledge, which is whenever he speaks, he's just bringing me back to the truth of who we are in Christ. And his gift of knowledge is being able to discern the truth from the lie. You know, we believe the lie. We in Romans it says that we change the truth of God for a lie. And the gift of knowledge is to be able to really discern that.
Okay, there's a distinguishing of spirits too. So getting close to that one. Okay, I'll hit a couple more and then we're going to move on, but others are...
knowledge and the gift would be teaching. Would that be...
Okay, that might be the expression of that particular gift. Okay, this is good. Now, okay, go ahead.
You know, when I read this, I think about context. It seems to me that the knowledge is
the ability to bring forth the word of God. And, you know, so, you know, I listen to Darren, who has, for example, always has a relevant passage come to mind.
Okay.
That is not something I have.
Okay.
And yet he's able to do it, not in the manner of the Pharisees, which is to beat somebody with it.
Yes.
I mean, it brings out and supports
the
brotherhood love.
I like that.
And that to me is, it literally is somebody who knows the word of God. Yeah. Is,
you know, it really helpful. You know, if all these things had nice definitions, you know, we go back in the Bible and say, okay, you know, it's such a, you know, I mean, it should be all there. And it's not. And all we can do then is to study Scripture and to see where these things have been highlighted. Yeah, Jeff, I know you're... you're not going to be go here, but go ahead. No, go ahead.
There's the context, again, is that these are spiritual gifts, and they're given by God, and they're God's gifts for His purpose.
Right.
And but the word the scripture comes to mind, a word rightly spoken, is like apples of gold and pictures of silver.
Yes,
from Psalms.
Very good. Yes, great. I think as I contemplate, you know, with this whole spiritual gifts idea, spiritual gift, the spiritual gift is for the common good. And you got to keep in mind now, granted, God may give different ones of us, you know, insight into something as what's happening or what could happen and all this kind of thing. But I keep coming back to what is the gift of knowledge that is the gift of the Holy Spirit for the common good. So I try to look at it a little broader, and I think we're hitting it here, because I feel, you know, it's my perspective, but the ability to perceive God's truth, see, the ability to see God's truth and be able to speak that to what's taking place. You've got wisdom, you know, knowing how the application works, but the knowledge is to comprehend this from God's perspective. I kind of put it, I said, the ability to perceive God's truth from God's perspective, which others may not know or comprehend on their own, can be a little bit of a, you know, a mystery. However, but seeing this, and I could really see this in applications of, I am amazed at times when I will read different commentaries on something. But for instance, a book that really has had an impact on my life is The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. And here's a Chinaman that back in the 30s and early 40s, I mean, I think, you know, what's this guy learning here anyway? But insight into the book of Romans, I thought was just phenomenal. The insight. So I would look at that guy. He really has a gift of knowledge, the ability to take God's truth and be able to see how it really is, how it applies. Fernando.
Yeah, it's the spiritual knowledge. It's different kind of knowledge, intellectual. We all have different kind of knowledge. But this one is something special for this church. Not for our own benefit.
Yes, it's for the church. Yes.
But to use it.
Yes.
Not to keep it in mind and close it. In different way, we can use a spiritual knowledge, like a discern, teaching.
Yes.
And it becomes the application of it. Yes. That we can help the church with that knowledge that belongs to God, not to him.
Exactly. And I would even, you know, look at a lot of these guys who have really studied Scripture and they've written commentaries, and I would say they have a real gift of knowledge. But it's like, you know, stuck on that one, but it's just kind of moved through a couple other ones here. But faith. Now, the gift of faith. Now, think this one through. We all need to have faith in order to become a Christian. I have to have faith. Now, why is this now distinguished as a gift of faith? How is the gift of faith distinct from the saving faith or just living by faith? Fred?
I've heard people say, I only believe what I can see and what I can touch.
All right.
And yet, that's such a ridiculous thing, because we are always pushing our remote control, and we don't need any little guy going out there and turning it off. But yet, faith is what, when we believe things that we cannot see,
okay,
and we cannot touch.
All right.
But we believe them, and we know that they are.
Okay, but now, I'm going to push you on this one. That, to me, is the faith that God expects from all of us. I'm looking for the, what is the gift of faith?
So you go back to what you said, which is these are for the church and for the body.
The church body.
So when I hear the gift of faith, I think this is a you see a person in the body,
yes,
who has been under trials that would break you.
Okay.
And yet you see them holding and clinging to the Lord.
Very good. Okay, I think that's a great illustration.
Yeah.
That's a great illustration. I see hands close by here, but I'm going to ignore them for a little while because I go ahead, Rich.
Faith is a gift God gives us because He's saving us. When He saves us, He gives us faith, a relationship with His Son that helps become more like Him in our life.
Okay, I can see that as saving faith and living faith. But at the same time, there are those, and I think you hit it here, the whole idea of the gift of faith is something beyond. Joel.
I just want to reinforce what this one before you.
Bruce, thanks, Bruce.
I want to extend that a little bit to say that it inspires faith,
okay,
in the rest of the body.
Very good.
So that we see that example and say,
yes,
that reinforces and that stirs up
it does
others' faith.
That's how I see it too. Jeff.
Look at what right now what we're the series that's being taught,
yes,
that Scott's being taught,
mm-hmm,
Shift. He's trying to cast a vision of where we need to go. This rite of passage.
Right.
And helping others see and,
yes,
like Joel was just saying, and Bruce, inspire that faith for,
yes,
us all to go there together.
You know, you realize life has a lot of little risks, and even big risks, you know, and then to move ahead, you know, and sometimes I've struggled with this in my own life, because I don't have the gift of faith. I mean, God kind of shoved me into some areas, and I was kind of a little kicking and screaming on the way, but hey, praise the Lord. The gift of faith, when I think about this, it's our people who can envision God's promises, what He has, what He's about, what our purpose is, sees people around Him with, you know, the possibilities, potential, and so forth, and moves ahead. And now there's times I have struggled with, well, what's the difference between faith and presumption? You know, what's the presumption here? You know, and I've struggled with that too. But boy, I tell you, there, I would say praise the Lord for those who just have a confidence in the greatness and the power of God. Howard.
I think of your story of the man crossing Niagara Falls on the wire.
Okay.
And faith is the man in the wheelbarrow, complete faith in God. But the gift of faith is to have 100 others follow.
Okay, Howard, I like that one, Jim.
I was thinking back to the day back at the, you call it the old campus, and back many years ago, you guys talked about a new rancher community at that time, and I remember there was a lot of prayers, but there was only a few that had a faith and a vision. I think so. I said visionary, which I think somehow faith and vision coupled with inspiring others to reach that faith. And here it is. This is nothing. I didn't have any ideas. I didn't have any vision about this. And yet, I mean, I don't know where you were at back in those days. But I certainly know.
It all depends when those days were. But as things were moving along, man, God stretched me.
Before this even happened. Yet.
Oh. But you know,
you guys have the vision and certainly the prayers there.
Oh, yes.
And here it is today.
I know what, it's an amazing guy. I just got a quick, cute story here. But, you know, I'll tell you what, one guy really has had an impact on my life, and that's Dr. Robert Shuler. Yeah. whether you, you know, I don't know where you are with him, but boy, I would tell you something. He, after attending some of his leadership conferences, and he tells this story about this fisherman, and I'll use it local here, but this guy's fishing here at Vail Lake, and lo and behold, he's reeling in these huge trout, and he looks at these great big trout, he throws them back in. And he does this over and over again until he finally gets kind of small ones, and he keeps small ones. Finally, the other fishermen are going nuts. They're thinking, what's wrong with this guy? It's crazy. So they get over there next day and say, what are you doing? You're throwing this big trout. You know, you keep the ones. He says, well, I only have a 10-inch frying pan. And was sure, that story, I've never forgot. He says, the problem with a lot of us as pastors of churches, we have a 10-inch frying pan for a brain. We cannot envision what great things God wants to do. We limit what God can do by what I envision, what I can do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That boy really gave me a kick in the pants because I thought, man, he's talking about me. He's been following me around the rowboat. It's not very nice. But anyway, you know, you say when, you know, as time went on, you know, I began to realize, I mean, my vision was for that campus. We're off the freeway. Everybody sees Rancho communities off the freeway, you know. Well, then as time went on, you know, here we come up with this 53 acres, you know. Whoa, what is this? And then my vision was, we're not going to invest more than $9 million. And then this Malkoff says to us, $9 million, and all you're going to see is what's under the ground, he said. So anyway, it was something else. Go ahead.
One of the things that Barclay talks about is that a faith, as part of the gift of faith is concerned, is one that produces results.
Yes.
And taking the vision and turning it into deeds.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, that's the gift of faith.
That's,
I
mean, the gift of faith.
We have
right.
faith.
Yes.
Yes.
That we have to be able to.
Yes.
Believe mm-hmm. and to trust
right.
on an individual basis, and then, but the gift of faith, as far as taking it to the church and to the rest of the
right.
world, is taking those visions
now
and turning them into deeds.
Exactly. I like that. One more, and then we got to move to the next one.
I was thinking about Daryl and the Thanksgiving meals.
Okay.
How faithful he is in asking.
Yes.
And then 500 meals are produced.
Yes. Are produced, right? Way to go. Okay.
I was going to mention that James has mentioned about the Thanksgiving meal, because it was fake. Because in the beginning, we gather all these names and we
yes.
see a number. And we're like, how's this going to happen? And you know, as the first week went by, you know, nothing was happening. There was only a few boxes. Like, man, we've got to get into this number.
That's right.
It's going to happen. So naturally, we prayed about it. And boom, it was.
Praise the Lord.
More than enough that,
that is awesome.
Time and time again.
Yeah. Hey, okay. I can't go through all of these because we'll never survive. But what's interesting here is, you know, you see these things. Of course, then the other one here is gifts of healing. Now, you notice something. It's gifts is plural. You see the Bible? It's not the gift of healing. It's gifts. So you know there are different types of healings that are made available. And I think that's something you have to keep in mind as well. You know, the gifts is plural, indicating our various kinds of healing. And it could be calling forth the mending of people physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So there's different, you know, types of healings that goes on. And again, God is under no obligation to heal. He's under no obligation. You know, don't let some of these guys on television, you know, pass you over the head as though now you're going to control God. He has to because he said this and that. No, I mean, it's up to the Lord. But it still takes those who have the gift of faith to step out a little even further, and you know, for the gift of healing. And again, the kind of story of my own life with this whole healing thing was, I remember, I began attending some of the Vineyard, when Vineyard first got started in Anaheim with John Wimber. And John, you know, a new Christian and everything, and he was at this church, and he was sort of saying, well, when do we do this stuff? I mean, I believe everything the Bible says, when do we get to do this stuff? And you know, the reaction was, well, we just teach this stuff. We don't do this stuff. I mean, and that was my attitude too. You know, I mean, when Wimber had these seminars, man, I took my notebook along, man, boy, I had some great notes. Boy, I love to preach that stuff, you know? Now I'm going to do this stuff? No way. Well, that stretched me. And I had to ask myself, what is it now? You know, what? Why do I have such an aversion to laying hands on people and praying over them? Well, I'd be real honest. I think one of the biggest aversions was I didn't want to be embarrassed. Because I know God's going to do anything anyway, so what? Why should I lay hands on somebody and disillusion that poor guy? And, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way I felt deep down inside. And I suddenly realized, well, what right do I have to put God in a box? And if God's going to heal someone, I've got to give God that opportunity. Now, granted, I don't know people that have a gift of healing, but I know people who, man, if we're going to, someone's sick in the group here, let's make sure that we get over here and just lay hands on them. That's what we got to be doing, see, and be faithful. And lo and behold, we've seen some God work some wonderful miracles. Now, just a couple quick things. I have to quit. Jeff, I really do. I got to quit here. So, but some of these things, now some of these...
There's the door. People can get up and walk out of the room.
Are you telling me I got to get out of here?
Not you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You keep going.
Keep going.
You can't leave until the last person leaves.
Oh, okay. That's But it's kind of interesting. But you realize that within the church family, we do struggle with these different types of gifts, because there are a lot of Christians who basically feel that a lot of these that are listed here in Corinthians are sign gifts. In other words, sign gifts. In other words, when a new work of God's ministry is going to be taking place, it often comes with signs and wonders. We'll read that in Scripture, in the book of Acts, in different places, signs and wonders. Well, why is that? Well, it's so that when the message came, it came forth with power, and miracles came with it. And we see that, you know, all through the book of Acts. Well, we don't see that much around here. However, it's interesting, some stories of people on the mission field, will talk more about healings and miracles than a lot of us. And I kind of think sometimes there is the correlation. So I look at these things, the miraculous powers, I don't know, you know, I don't see these things going around here, but all I know is, hey, God wants to do his thing, he'll do it, you know? Let's just be available, you see? And then the distinguishing between spirits, I think, is really important as well, because there is, for the protection of the church, you realize there's a lot of cults that are going around. You know, and today you've got people in churches who are saying, well, listen, you know, all these religions, we're all basically doing the same thing. You know, all we're trying to do is connect people with God, whatever you want to define God to be. That's okay, but at least, you know, do the good works and do the... Wait a minute. Our good works, Christianity isn't about doing good works. Christianity is about sharing God's good news of how sinful people can come into a right relationship with a holy God. The works comes as an overflow. It comes as a result of it. And then, of course, you know, so distinguish between spirits. There are those who have a real perception as to what is the gospel here and what is not. Somehow this doesn't smack of it, see? And then the whole thing with tongues, again, this, as we're going to be moving into that whole area, the whole area of tongues, you know, are there tongues today? Some say, no, there's no such thing as tongues today. Well, I say, well, you know, I got to tell my friends there's something's going on with them, that they're a little loony, or they're walking around with a demon. I mean, I don't buy that either. I believe it. But God hasn't given me the gift of tongues. Well, why? Why don't I get upset about that? Because he gives the gifts as he determines.
As needed.
Hey, why should I get all bummed out because I don't have a gift that someone else has? I'm responsible for the gifts God's given me. Okay? All right, Jeff. I'll give you one more chance.
I do want to digress to the gift of faith, because I really feel like, Jack, in your testimony today, that was a gift of faith that God gave you when you were going into that dark place. Right. Was that not a gift of faith, that you knew God was even going to use you there?
Okay, another thing, as you raised that, I still want a clarification here. And Brad asked it last time. He says, now, is the gift, spiritual gift, something that God will just give you when need comes? And that's why some people feel that hey, if you have, there's a special need, God will give it to you, and then you exercise that particular gift. The whole analogy in the scripture here is a body. Now, if I have a problem with my liver, one of my kidneys can jump in and say, oh, well, you know, there's a need over here. We'll just flop over here. We'll become a kidney. I mean, liver. I believe gifts are gifts. They are given to individuals. This is their function in the body. Now, he will give you insights. I mean, faith. God will give you that faith. That may not be necessarily the gift of faith or the gift of, because I think really that becomes your role in the body of Christ. And you begin to see how important this is within the body of Christ, that you discover your place, your position. Find your position. If that's going to happen, you know, let me just get you to the very last page here, because that's what we're going to conclude with. That's a good place. Look at application. Look at application. Now, if you say, well, how do I find my spiritual gift? Well, I would say there's five things that you really need to be considering here. First of all, explore the possibilities. What does Scripture teach about different gifts? Identify the biblical listings. Develop an understanding of what they are. And then experiment with as many as you can. You know, you want to find out if you have the gift of evangelism? Well, hey, start trying with people. You know, and not only doing that, you know, a floppy kind of a job. I mean, you really, really find out, you know. But you're also going to find some things out about yourself. There's certain things about yourself that you are attracted to and other things that you are not attracted to. But experiment with as many as you can. Bridge the fear of failure.
Yeah.
And I think this is a big thing. We're always, well, if I did that, or I could be embarrassed. Well, you see, now you're going to deal with yourself, because you have to realize what?
Expand your frying pan.
There you go. Expand your frying pan. Good point. Yeah, really, you have to expand the frying pan. And be willing to step out. It takes commitment. And sadly, within the church, so often we talk about, well, do you be available? Would you? Well, yeah, but I don't have the time. And well, I will when I feel like it. Hey, listen. I mean, the problem isn't with the gift. The problem is with the Holy Spirit. The problem is with you. See? And the other thing is examine your feelings. What are you passionate about? What are things you look at around you or within the church? Oh, a lot of time we look around in the church and we start criticizing. Well, this isn't there. That isn't there. You know, we do all this kind of stuff. Well, if you're so passionate about it, what are you going to do about it? You know, and I've often found people say, well, Pastor, do you realize that this is lacking in the church? When are you guys going to do something about that? I said, oh, are you volunteering? That's what you got to do. You got to say, wait a minute, you become passionate about this, then God's laid this on your heart.
Yeah,
let's see what we can do that can really help, you know, in this particular area. You see a weakness that maybe I haven't aware of, or maybe you got some ideas, you know.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We should give these back, and we should continue to study this.
Yeah.
For another year.
Yeah. I think I've got the time.
I have a whole class. I just got finished with on spiritual gifts.
Say, you have a whole class that you teach on this, and you're going to walk this out in 2 weeks.
Well, listen, we're in Corinthians. I mean, come on here. Then you've got to evaluate your effectiveness. You really do. If you're going to start looking at your spiritual gifts, where are you effective? What do you see happening? And for some of us, it's the gift of helps. I may not be the leader, I may not lead the charge, but boy, I sure enjoy helping someone do what, because I want to see it happen, and here I am. I'm available. I think that's wonderful. Some of us have envisions, but we're not good at organizing. So here we find somebody that works. They catch the vision with you, organize, and we're working this. It's a team effort.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
What do you think? How many guys would be, when I asked him about the thing that 137?
I wasn't even going to go there.
Oh, sorry.
and the reason is, I mean, I've got a questionnaire that you can always go through. That's wonderful, which is great. But you've got to realize that there's a whole lot more to it than just going through a questionnaire. You know, that's kind of what I was at. Fernando, go ahead.
The diversity of gift be in unity in the body of Christ.
Yes.
But in Romans 12, this is when I read one verse. Having then given according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them.
Use them.
Is prophesied, let us prophesy. It is proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use this, our ministry. Who teach. Don't keep quiet.
Keep quiet. Hey, use them. That's the deal. Use them. See? And then evaluate your effectiveness. In other words, you've got to be able to see what are you often asked to do? What impact do you see in around those that you touch? You know, what is your effectiveness? And then expect confirmation from the body. What do others see in you? How do they affirm you? But, you know, listen to spiritually mature people around you. And I think those kind of things really help. The last thing is this. You've got to remember, the church is not like a cruise liner, okay? A lot of people, we love cruises. I mean, I love cruises. Oh, this is great. But, you know, they got all these people running around doing all this nice stuff, the entertainment and the whole thing. And a lot of us are a part of church because that's what we like. Like a big cruise line. You know, here they are, the worship service, and man, it's just, well, it wasn't so good this last Sunday, but hey, you know, they're still working on, I mean, but I'm entertained, you know, and I love having that mint laying right there on my pillow before I go to bed, and you know, if things aren't going right, I'm going to complain to the captain. That captain better get this thing straightened out. But we've got to realize we are a battleship. We're a battleship, and we've got a job to do, and we're a crew. We got, you know, it's all around us, and you know, the captain's there for a purpose, and you know, there's crew people around us that have certain responsibilities, but we are working on this thing together. I think when you have that mental picture in your mind, boy, the church and who we are, what we're doing right here has a whole different meaning, Daryl.
Going back to the Thanksgiving meal, again, it was a display of this whole concept.
Yes, it's working together, isn't it?
It wasn't only our committee, but the body of
Jesus. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's phenomenal.
Different talents everybody had, because
yes.
I knew what my wife had and so forth.
Yes.
But we all blended together to make this project a success.
Really come to appreciate that. Wonderful. Okay, so
your Alaskan cruise was a battleship?
No, that was a cruise. I haven't had Bill Gaither come and sing for me. I mean, it was wonderful. But anyway, what we're going to do next time, we're going to go on. We're going to look at verses 12 through 34 and try to see now how you maintain unity in the midst of diversity. So we've been talking about the gifts and the various things. Now, how does this thing work? Because now you're going to come back with attitudes. Some will say, oh, I don't even have a gift. You know, what good is that? And Paul's going to speak to that. Another's going to say, well, your gift isn't quite like my gift. And Paul's going to speak to that too. So read through that. This is lesson number 17 and continue in our discussion, okay? Fill in the blanks. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We just appreciate our time here together. And we just ask, Lord, that you stir in our hearts what it really means to be the body of Christ. Lord, if your hands are going to work, we need to be working. Lord, if what you see through your eyes, Lord, if we don't see it, Lord, then something's wrong. We've got to work together as the body of Christ. Gracious Father, I pray you stir that within us and help us to find our position and to play in that position well. not for our glory, Lord, but for your honor and glory. Yes. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.